Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at SchachterEnergyReport.ca. Welcome to the show, and what's happening in my hometown of Calgary after the stampede?
Well, it's quieted down from the stampede, but it was raucous. They had very good attendance. I think 1.2 million people, almost 1.4, I think, is the highest number. And you know, the downtown was pretty raucous, as you'd expect. And you know, the energy industry partied like they haven't partied for 3 years because of the robust commodity prices. And you know, employees are all in a good mood, and you know, salaries are up, bonuses are up, share prices are up, so that makes happy days in Calgary.
Yeah, my cousin who caters to the oil business has a sticker on his tool chest that says, "Please, Lord, give us another upturn in the oil business, and this time I won't blow my money."
Yeah, I remember the bumper stickers. Yeah, it was 1980s, and you know, people were worried about who's going to turn off the lights because the city, you know, had become. You know, people were leaving on droves because of $10 oil. The industry didn't work. So yeah, it's not the best of times here, but because you know, you've still got you know, unemployment to some extent, but there's and you know, you have industries that can't find workers, be it the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry. You know, that's where there's a shortage worker. But then again, that's minimum wage. And, you know, but even the oil patch, getting people to work in the rigs and, service rigs, you know, now that they can give them enough hours and they can make enough money, you know, people are coming back to work in the field. And, but, you know, going back a year or so ago, they couldn't get enough hours, so they didn't find the employees. So, all that's changed with, $97 oil today.
The Canadian, U.S., European governments against oil and gas. But will that kill the industry?
Well, I would split the two between the oil and the gas. I think the, you know, Biden continues to be anti-oil, but he's pro-natural gas. And, of course, you know, he wants to see more LNG come on so they can ship it to Europe and help them out to get off of Russian natural gas. So it's a really a dichotomy between the two. You've seen releases from, you know, companies like Tourmaline, record profits and increase and put out another special dividend, a bigger one, $2 a share than the announcement this morning.
Wow.
Or yesterday, sorry. And so you're getting the industry saying, okay, you know, we're having good times, let's pay down our debt. Once debt's paid down, return to shareholders, and that's the NCIB, normal course issuer bid, buy back stock, and also regular dividends and extraordinary dividends. And Tourmaline is probably the poster child of how good things can be.
Is Canada blowing a big opportunity to help Europe wean itself off reliance on Russian energy?
Yes. The big problem is you need plants on the east coast of Canada, and the government says, you know, they don't want to be involved after the TMX in the overrun of costs on that, the oil line to BC. They don't want to be putting up any money. You know, so they're, you know, and you've seen that there's been very selective, you know, movement on climate change here, where they're really going after the energy industry, but they're not going after the steel industry. They're not going after, you know, the fertilizer. They're not going after, you know, the wood industries, you know, the mining industries. You know, they're leaving those out and just poking at the energy industry, which a lot of people in Alberta are pretty unhappy about. So I think that, you know, we're in Canada is kind of, you know, is different than what's going on in even the U.S. and, of course, in Europe. In Europe, because of the shortage of electricity, they're going back to, you know, more nuclear, and they're going back to more coal because they want to make sure that they, you know, can cover the high temperatures of the summer. But more importantly, they're going to need to have enough power for, heating when we get into winter 22-23. So, you know, there's two projects, a Repsol project and also a potential Paraday project. Both of them, have two issues with them. One, of course, the costs and the economics to make them go. But number two, you have to have more pipelines taking natural gas from the Marcellus in the States and from Western Canada. And that means TC Energy has to, or Enbridge has to build natural gas pipelines. And of course, you got to go through Quebec. And of course, Quebec is very anti-fossil fuel because they've got Hydro-Quebec. So, the politics of Canada, really being a factor on the east coast of Canada, I think, you know, I would put less than a 10% chance of it happening, because of the problems with the federal government and approvals, of major new projects, in this industry. And number two, having to deal with Quebec and finding the intransigent there, because they don't want to support anything to do with fossil fuels, because they've got to protect, the homegrown hydroelectric power, which they take from Labrador.
I was going to say, aren't Quebecers the biggest users of SUVs in Canada?
I would think that SUVs and, they're not, EVs are not a big business there. And of course, you know, whenever you see the politicians talk about, climate change and you've got, you're waving the finger at you because, you do dirty fossil fuel people, what are they doing as examples? Are they running around in EVs? Are they lowering the temperatures on their homes? It's the hypocrisy of all of this. And it's nice they can stand on the podium, say everything that, that they need to say to show the Greens that they're playing their game. But but even the Greens in Germany now have said we want coal to come on because they know that if there's not enough power and the industries have to shut in and people don't have their homes heated in the wintertime, that's even a worse of a problem. So you've got the Green Party now supporting expansion of coal, for Germany. So, and because of what's going on with Russia. So, hypocrisy, these guys, say what they want to say because they think it's politically correct. But then when it comes down to economics and people's experience, they go with the solution that solves the problem for people, even though it's against any policy mandates that they had prior to that.
So if the European governments, Canadian and U.S. governments force people into EVs, will there still be an oil and gas industry out there that needs to be supported?
Well, first thing, I think, the natural gas side of it is a permanent positive, simply because I think, the transition, it's going to take so long to bring on sufficient renewables, be it solar or tidal or wind, and also you need storage. And where is all that, the commodities to create that coming from? It's coming from new mines that are being in Africa or South America or in Asia, and they're going to be using a tremendous amount of fossil fuels. So even though we may see in the OECD countries maybe declining by 10 or 20% usage of, crude oil between now and the end of the decade, and that would be an optimistic forecast and goal, you're going to see more growth by the third world, which is going to be providing the materials that are going to be needed to create that renewable world. So it's again hypocrisy here. They say they want to go this way, but they don't realize that the economic and ecological damage they're going to be doing to countries that are going to be the producers of these raw materials.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, we've seen gasoline prices come down substantially in Alberta, or I should say in Vancouver, we were paying up to $2.50 a liter. Now we think we're getting a bargain at $1.95. What is the forecast for gasoline prices for the rest of the year?
Well, I think it's, you know, we've got a problem with, you know, in right now where the hurricane season starts up very soon, and that usually means you shut down the offshore facilities and also those facilities close to the coast. So with that happening, of course, August, September into early October, we may see prices spike up again because of that. But we are in recession, if you use the old technical term. We had a 1.6 negative revision for GDP for Q1. We just saw the number today of 0.9 negative. Biden and everybody is spinning that's not correct, you know, that we're not in recession because of employment, et cetera. But employment's a lagging indicator, and consumers are not spending, so it'll be job losses soon. And we're going to see unemployment rise, you know, significantly in the months ahead. So I think that, you know, we're going to be looking at lower oil prices after we get past hurricane season. And depending upon how severe the recession is, and I think it will not be a moderate recession, I think it's going to be more in the severe category and last longer, simply because, you know, you've got inflation, which is embedded, and we're seeing wage inflation take off, which is the big problem for the central banks. And, you know, and food inflation is not going away, and chip inflation is not going away, you know, semiconductor chip inflation. So I think we're looking at a recession that at some point will drive demand down. And I'm still in the camp that, you know, we're $97 in WTI today. We were 130, as you remember, at the high in March when the invasion happened. I think we're going to bust 90 sometime in August. And I think that if the recession is negative and more severe than, you know, the consensus is right now, and which is, you know, the consensus was expecting yesterday a 0.4 positive number, and they got a negative 0.9. They're offside as it is. I think we're going to be looking at sub $70 WTI during Q4. And I think, you know, that will mean stock prices in the sector will come down. Quarterly numbers for Q2 are fabulous for a lot of the companies. But, you know, the market, you know, if you see a general stock market decline, and which I think will happen as, you know, earnings fall apart in the recession, then oil gets dragged down, as we saw during the pandemic and as we saw in 08-09 during the financial crisis. So if we have a recession here that hurts earnings and that hurts the economy, energy will be dragged along downward. And I think sub $70 WTI in Q4 will mean stock prices will go lower. But I think that might provide a great buying opportunity, just like it did in March 2020. You know, as you know, it's the old story. You know, you want to be buying stocks when there's financial blood in the streets. And you want to be like Bernard Baruch. You want to be selling stocks when your barber starts touting you stocks.
Warren Buffett has loaded up on Occidental stocks, and Warren seems to me has a pretty good track record overall.
Yeah, he is. One industry that keeps on beating him up when he goes there is the airline industry, but he is one of the most, you know, successful investors of all time. And Oxy, you know, again, like all these companies, are generating so much cash, and if they pay down debt and then start paying more dividends, the multiples are pretty cheap. But if the price of oil goes down to $70 or less, his Oxy investment for a while will be underwater versus the prices he's been paying in the last couple of months to build up that position, which I think is about 20% of the company.
The rig count, that tells us what's going on a physical presence. What's happening there?
Well, the rig count's been going up, you know, and that's really been a big positive. You know, if you look at the U.S., the rig count last week, Friday, was 758 rigs, up from 491, so 54% higher. And in Canada, we're 195 rigs, up from 149, up 31%. We may get to 225, 250 in Canada during the summer when the industry is running flat out. And U.S. production is about 12.1 million, up from 11.9, so it went up 200,000 last week as, you know, shut-in production pod pipelines were brought on. But one thing I point out is that total product supplied, in other words, total energy consumed in the States last week was just under 20 million, but that's 1.15 million lower than a year ago. So we are having demand destruction in the States because of high prices and the slowing economy. And people are driving less. They're not taking the holidays by car that they were. And some people are carpooling now that were not doing that before. So I think we're looking at this recession does get as severe as I think it can, that we'll probably see U.S. overall demand drop by 1.5 to 2 million barrels a day. And if that's happening in the States, just think of what's going on in Europe with Germany and other countries, and also, of course, China with all the lockdowns. So the bulls are looking at the fact that there's supply problems, you know, Russia oil not being available, Libya's problems where they were having difficulties producing because of the civil war there. And you saw those issues, driving price of oil up. But if you look at the other side of the coin and you say we go into recession, demand drops by 4 or 5 million barrels, all of a sudden the game changes, and it's the marginal barrel in terms of demand or excess supply that really drives the price, as we saw during March of 2020 and April 2020. And so I think that the euphoria that we've had in the sector has gone too far, and I think that if we do see the recessionary data come out more and more in the weeks and months ahead, we're going to see sub $70, and the stocks will fall off, and the price at the pump, you may see it 20, 30, 40 cents less in BC than it is today.
Joseph, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
I think the key is to keep an eye on the economic data. I think, if you want to be bullish and you're fully invested, watch the economic data. And if the economic data continues to deteriorate, as I expect it will, then maybe being fully invested is not correct. Not even for energy, but in any, in your overall portfolios. And I think that's something to be of note, is that, how did you feel in March, April 2020, when the stock market fell, and how did that hurt your portfolios, 08, 09? I think most people are going to be looking at their Q2 reports, from their brokers, and they're going to probably be seeing a situation where the negative performance, and maybe significantly double-digit negative performance. So they may, if we do go into recession, that numbers get worse. So having some cash reserves, having money on the sidelines to take advantage of bargains when we do get to, a climactic fear level, that I think is something people should consider, and that's something we've been advising our clients.
Joseph, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure, as always.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report, online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.